Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 1st chapter, The History of the Life of Ajamil, text 2. Prabhriti Lakshanas. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O great sage Sukadev Goswami, unless the living entity is freed from the infection of material modes of nature, he receives different types of bodies in which to enjoy or suffer, and according to the body, he is understood to have various inclinations. By following these inclinations, he traverses the path called Prabhriti Marga, by which one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, as you have already described in the 3rd canto. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Janti Deva Vrata Devan Pitrin Jantri Pitrin Jantri Pritri Vrata. Bhutani Janti Bhutejya Janti Madjajino Pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. Because of the influence of the various modes of nature, the living entities have various tendencies or propensities, and therefore they qualify to achieve various destinations. As long as one is materially attached, he wants to be elevated to the heavenly planets because of his attraction to material world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, however, those who worship me come to me. If one has no information about the Supreme Lord and his abode, one tries to be elevated only to a higher material position. But when one concludes that in this material world there is nothing but repeated birth and death, he tries to return home back to Godhead. If one attains that destination, he need never return to this material world. Jad gatvana nivartante tad dhamo paramang mama. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19.151, Brahmando Bhramite Kono Bhagyoban Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering through the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some of them are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. All living entities are rotating throughout the universe, going sometimes up to the higher planetary systems and sometimes down to the lower planets. This is the material disease, which is known as Prabhriti Marga. When one becomes intelligent, he takes to Nibriti Marga, the path of liberation, and thus, instead of rotating within this material world, he returns home back to Godhead. This is necessary. Prabhriti Lakshanaschaiva Traigunna Visayo Mune Jo Shavalina Prakrite Guna Sarga Punah Punah. O great sage Sukadev Goswami, unless the living entity is freed from the infection of material modes of nature, he receives different types of bodies in which to enjoy or suffer, and according to the body, he is understood to have various inclinations. By following these inclinations, he traverses the path called Prabhriti Marga, by which one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, as you have already described in the 3rd canto. So Sukadev Goswami is being asked by Parikshit Maharaj some very pertinent questions about spiritual life and about how to become free from material entanglement. That's why it's very important to study Srimad Bhagavatam very carefully. That's why Srila Prabhupada has instituted the system that every morning we study Srimad Bhagavatam. We read the verses and the meaning, and then read Srila Prabhupada's purport, and then we discuss about this topic. And this topic simply deals about the transcendental knowledge. If we properly study Srimad Bhagavatam, that means if we discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with rapt attention and sincere intentions, then we can become free from material bondage very easily. We can see that this particular verse is describing the natural propensities of a living entity and how one can become free from those propensities. Prabhritti, the word prabhritti here has been translated by Srila Prabhupada as the natural inclination. We can see that different living entities have different inclinations. Like, when you consider, even if we consider the animals, we can see how different animals have different inclinations. Like certain animals are domestic animals. Certain animals like to be with human beings, like cows or ships or horses. Like they like to be with human beings. But there are some other animals, they are inimical towards human beings. They are tigers and lions. Now, then also among other animals, we can see that some animals are carnivorous. They like to eat meat, but some animals are herbivorous. They just take leaves and grass. Now, these are their natural propensities or natural inclinations. They are their nature. Like if we give some grass to a lion, the lion will never eat it. Even if the lion is starving, the lion will never eat grass. And even if a cow is starving, if you give the cow some meat, the cow will not eat it. Then we notice that even among human beings, there are different types of propensities. A child acts in a certain way. A grown-up youth acts in another way. An old man acts in some other way. A man acts in a certain way. A woman acts in some other way. So these are the natural inclinations of the living entities. And this is called prabhritti. Now to follow those inclinations is called prabhritti marga. And the ultimate prabhritti or the ultimate inclination of a living entity is to enjoy this material nature. The bottom line, the crux of the matter is actually that every living entity in this material nature wants to enjoy this material nature. So that is the ultimate inclination or ultimate prabhritti. But Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam, has explained that one has to become free from his prabhrittis in order to become free from material bondage. That means one should not act according to his inclinations, but one must learn to act according to the injunctions of the scriptures. The ultimate meaning of nivritti marg is to act according to the instructions of the scriptures or act according to the instructions of the sadhu and guru. Sadhu, guru and shastra, they are in one line. These are three parallel lines. They don't deviate from each other. Whatever the sadhu says is non-different from the in teachings of the scriptures. And the instruction of the spiritual master is based simply on the instructions of the scriptures and the instructions of the previous acharyas, other sadhus. So sadhu, guru and shastra never differs. They indicate the same thing. Now the question may arise, why is that? Sometimes the sadhus may differ from each other. Truth is the, whereas the article for lie is a. I don't know about German, but in English it's very specific. The means specific. The truth, but a lie. Why? Because truth is constant, but lie may vary. Sun rises in the east. It's universal truth. Everywhere the sun rises in the east. But the lie can be many. Sun rises in the west, sun rises in the north, sun rises in the south, sun rises in the southeast, sun rises in the northwest, and so on and so forth. There can be many lies, but truth is one. So those who know the truth, they simply speak about that one truth. Therefore, sadhu, shastra and guru never differ. They all are on the same line. They all speak about the same thing. Like those who know where ISKCON temple is, will unanimously agree that it's in Zurich, it's in 54 Bergstrasse. Isn't it? So those who know the temple, they will all agree with that truth. But those who do not know, they may say so many things. So those who know about God, and God being the absolute truth, speak about the same thing. But those who do not know, they may speak about various things. So nivritti marg means to follow the instructions of sadhu, shastra and guru. That is the ultimate definition of nivritti marg. Nivritti or cessation of pravritti, to give up or to become free from an inclination, also has two ways. One is a negative way and the other is a positive way. The negative way is to try to become free from material bondage by dint of our own endeavor. If we try to become free with our own endeavor, then that is called negative way of doing it. But when we do it according to sadhu, shastra and guru, then that is the positive way. And what is the positive way of becoming free from the pravritti marga? Is actually to become situated in our real pravritti. And what is our real pravritti? Our real pravritti is to serve. Our real inclination is actually to serve Krishna. But due to our forgetfulness of Krishna, we are trying to serve different other objects and trying to enjoy in that way. But we can never enjoy by serving anyone else or anything else besides serving Krishna. There is no way to enjoy without being engaged in devotional service of Krishna. By our endeavor to enjoy the material nature, we can never enjoy. That is like running after a mirage. When one runs after a mirage, becoming very thirsty, when one runs after a mirage, can he ever quench his thirst running after a mirage? No. On the other hand, the more he runs after the mirage runs away from him. Similarly, running after the illusory energy of the Lord, this material nature, we can never quench our thirst for enjoyment. On the other hand, the more we run after it, the more it runs away from us. And we become more and more miserable. Now, what does the scripture say about Nivritti Marg? The scripture says, do not become attached to the material nature, but become attached to serving Krishna. Do not run after the mirage, but go to where the oasis is. Go to where the reservoir of water is. So that is what the scripture is saying. Nibritti means do not run after illusion, but run after the reality. And what is the reality? The reality is Krishna and anything that is related to Krishna. Actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was originally given by Narayan, Bhagavatam was originally given by Narayan to Brahma in the form of four original verses. These four verses are known as Chatushloki Bhagavat. And these four verses actually contain the entire message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And originally these four verses were given to Brahma by Narayan. Then also when Narad came and instructed Vasudev, then he also gave him these four verses. And then Vasudev elaborated. This knowledge of Bhagavatam was actually elaborated in the heart of Brahma. Tene Brahmarida Adikavaye Muihanti Jatsuraya. He imparted this knowledge in the heart of Brahma, the knowledge that bewilders even the demigods. The same knowledge, the same Chatushlokis were given to Vasudev by Narad Muni, who further elaborated it. Then that Bhagavatam was actually spoken by Sukadev Goswami in the assembly where Parikshit Maharaj was about to leave his body. In that assembly, Suta Goswami was present. And then when Suta Goswami was asked by the sages of Naimisharanya, then Suta Goswami again repeated the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the history of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Srimad Bhagavatam actually originates from this original four verses. And the first of these four verses, the first and second verse describe the sambandha, the relationship between the living entity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and His nature. That's the meaning of sambandhya, relationship between the Lord, living entity, and Maya. Then the third verse actually describes the prayojan. What is the need of, what is our ultimate need? And the fourth verse describes about abhidhaya, or how one can become connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus how can one attain the ultimate goal of his life, ultimate need of his life. Sambandha, abhidhaya, and prayojan tattva, which has been further described or elaborated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his teaching. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually specifically defined these three aspects of sambandha, abhidhaya, and prayojan in a most perfect philosophy called achinta bheda bheda philosophy. Simultaneously, a philosophy that is simultaneously one and different. Now, in this Chatushloki Bhagavatam, in the second verse, the material nature or the illusory energy of the Lord has been described. It says, Rite artham jat pratiyeta, na pratiyeta chatmani, tad vidyad atmano mayam, jatha bhasho, jatha tamah. anything that may appear to have some value if it is not connected to the Supreme Personality of God. If it is not connected to me, Krishna is telling, that if it is not connected to me, then it is illusion. That is maya. Tad vidyad atmano maya. If anything is not connected to me, know that to be my maya. So that is the basic definition of maya. Anything that is not connected to Krishna is maya. Therefore, how we can transform this maya into reality, this illusion into reality? Maya again means illusion. How to transform illusion into reality then? Just connect everything to Krishna. If we just connect everything to Krishna, then everything becomes reality. So real Nivritti Marg is to connect everything to Krishna and not to see anything as separating things from Krishna is maya, and connecting things to Krishna is reality. Therefore, we are taught how to include everything with Krishna, how to connect everything to Krishna. Devotional service means how to connect everything to Krishna. Whatever we have, we must offer. Detachment, nashaptasya vishayan, in this way means to use everything in Krishna's service or accept everything in relation to Krishna. Therefore, devotees don't say no. Devotees say no to only four things. Devotees say no to meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex. Besides that, everything is yes for a devotee. Like Mayavadis don't want to touch money. Prabhupada once said, you give some money to a Mayavadi, he puts his hand at the back and says, no, I don't want money, I don't want money. But when someone gives us money, we take it with our right hand and we stretch our left hand for some more. So that is the mood of a devotee. Why the devotee wants everything? Why does the devotee want more and more? Because the devotee wants to use everything in Krishna's service. Devotee wants to use everything in Krishna's service. Prabhupada even says that if necessary, we'll even use nuclear weapons in Krishna's service. He said we'll use atom bombs in Krishna's service. Of course, to use that kind of objects in Krishna's service, there is a need of some pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, a devotee of Srila Prabhupada's stature. We should not try to use that. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a very clear instruction that in this age, one should not touch any weapon. Mahaprabhu himself did not want to use any weapon. Although in all other incarnations, Krishna uses his weapon. Vinashayacha Dushkritam, in order to destroy the miscreant, in order to annihilate the miscreant, Krishna uses weapons. But in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation, he did not use any such weapon. What is the weapon that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to kill the demons? What weapon did he use? Navina? Very good. He used the holy name of Krishna to kill the demons. He used love. With the weapon of love, he killed the demon. Papi tapi jato chilo hori name uddharilo. Tar shakhi jagai madhai. All the demons and all the miscreants, sinners that were there, have been delivered by the holy name. And the and the proof is Jagai and Madhai. Jagai and Madhai were the greatest of the demons. There was no abominable sinful activity that Jagai and Madhai did not do. They did everything. They killed people, they raped women, they robbed. They did everything. They're so demoniac. Jagai and Madhai are actually the incarnations of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, Ravan and Kumbhakarna, Shishupal and Dantavakra. The greatest of demons of all the other ages. So Jagai and Madhai in this age also are the greatest demons. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered them by the holy name. Jagai and Madhai was so demoniac that they hit, Madhai actually hit Nityananda Prabhu with his wine pot. He hit Nityananda Prabhu with the pot of his, with his wine pot. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got the news, he immediately appeared there. And he was so angry that he wanted to immediately annihilate Jagai and Madhai. And he started to call for his Sudarshan Chakra. But at that time, Nityananda Prabhu stopped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Said, "My Lord, you took a vow that in this incarnation you will not touch any weapon. Your weapon is going to be love. So please kill this demon or deliver this demon through your love." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then accepted that, and he offered Krishna consciousness to Jagai and Madhai after Jagai and Madhai begged forgiveness from Nityananda Prabhu. So in this way, there is a clear indication that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want us to use any weapon in this age. Because this Kali Yuga is so difficult that violence will breed, it's such a violent age that violence will breed violence. So if devotees become violent, then the others will become more violent. And there is no end to it. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted us to tolerate and be patient. Be patient and tolerate, and with a mood of becoming very humble, we should be patient, and we should try to tolerate. We should try to tolerate. And that is the real strength. And the devotees only can be so tolerant because devotees know that they are not their bodies. The others can inflict pain to the body. The others can create disturbance or difficulties to the body. But to the spirit soul cannot be disturbed, or the spirit soul cannot be hurt. The spirit soul can be in a state of bliss just by chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada's instruction is chant and be happy. Our happiness lies in chanting. We do not have to look for happiness anywhere else. And even if the body is in a very distressful condition, just by chanting the holy name, we can be happy. And if we are sad, if we are distressed, if we are troubled, we must remember this instruction of Srila Prabhupada. Chant and be happy. And we can immediately withdraw ourselves within and start chanting. And then we can see, we can really become happy just by chanting the holy name. And no one can stop us from chanting the holy name. And devotees will never stop chanting the holy name. And no one can stop the devotees from chanting the holy name. If someone tries to stop the devotees from chanting, then they will be destroyed by the arrangement of Krishna. Like we noticed in Russia, in the Soviet Union, they tried to stop the devotees from chanting the holy name. And as a result of that, the entire government collapsed. The reason why communism has been destroyed because of the Russian government's offense to the devotees. That's the only reason. Otherwise, there is no tangible reason and there is no conceivable reason why the Soviet Union, why the Eastern Bloc collapsed like this. Therefore, devotees should have full conviction on the holy name and on Krishna. Devotees should always remember that we should not be afraid of anything. And the proof is the Soviet Union. They tried to stop the devotees from chanting. They tried every possible means to stop the devotees from chanting. They put the devotees in psychiatric hospitals, gave all kinds of terrible drugs to stop them from chanting, force them to give up Krishna consciousness. But they did not. They were even sent to labor camps, where one lives in an inhuman condition and one is tortured in a most brutal way. Even then they didn't give up Krishna consciousness. And finally, when Krishna saw that these demons are trying to create such disturbance to the devotees, then just in one swing of his hand, Krishna destroyed their government. And we can see today, the Soviet Union has become like Vaikuntha. The Krishna consciousness is spreading in a most effective way in the Soviet Union. The other day there was a news in Newsweek, which is the largest, the most circulated magazine in the world, Newsweek or Time. Either one of the, I think Newsweek is the most circulated magazine. Eric? May well be so, yeah. In Newsweek there was an article that says, Russia's new god. And they speak about Hare Krishna movement there. They mentioned that that's the most, that's the fastest growing spiritual movement in Russia. They have their centers in every major city of Russia. And they have 700,000 followings. 700,000 members. Of course, that was a mistake on their part. Actually, they were told we have 70,000 following. But by Krishna's arrangement, it came out like 700,000 following. And I just had a report from someone who was there. He told me that you see devotees everywhere. In the subways, in the supermarkets, on the streets, wherever you go, you just see devotees, shaved head, wearing dhoti and kurta, tilak and japamala in hand. So this is how Krishna acts. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the supreme controller. I heard after this Boy George concert, or rather Boy George and Gauranga Bhajan band concert. There were 30,000 people actually came to that concert. And they paid. It was not free. 30,000 people paid and came to that concert. And they all were into it. There was waves of people just chanting and dancing with the holy name. Sachinanda Maharaj was telling me that this was an experience, an unusual experience. He was telling me that he was doing the aratik after the bhajan. He was offering the aratik to Gaur Nithai. And when he was showing the lamp to the crowd, it was very difficult for him to restrain his tears. And with difficulties he did it because he knew that the TV camera was focused on him. And he didn't want them to experience such an emotional outburst. And it's an amazing thing. Yeah. So, after that, during that bhajan, during that concert, one day Harikesh Maharaj was going to give the Bhagavatam class in an auditorium that has a capacity of 3,000 people. And in that auditorium, only the initiated devotees were allowed to participate, come to the Bhagavatam class. The cards were issued only to the initiated devotees to come to the class. Because otherwise, they couldn't fit in so many people. Then recently Ajodhapati Prabhu, who is a very expert kirtan leader, he was there and he announced that he would take a Harinam. He invited the devotees to come for a Harinam in Red Square. And 2,500 shaved-head, dhoti-clad devotees showed up to participate in the Harinam. And it was such a massive Harinam that they became afraid. So, finally police came. They actually went to St. Petersburg. Oh, no, what's the name of the church there? Yes, St. Basil. So they went into the church and the police came and took them out. Because they became afraid that they were going to take over. So we can see a real Hare Krishna explosion is taking place in the United States, where even just a few years ago it was impossible even to imagine that one can practice Krishna consciousness openly. The country that was completely behind Iron Curtain, where devotees had been brutally persecuted. That country today has become the most prominent place for Krishna consciousness. And Hare Krishna explosion is virtually taking place there. There's virtually an explosion of Krishna consciousness movement. Now how is it possible? It's possible because of Krishna's mercy. And this is an indication that a time is going to come very soon when the whole world is going to become swept away with this Krishna consciousness. There's going to be explosion of Krishna consciousness all over the world in every town and village. And it's going to happen, provided we sincerely try to push on this mission. If we sincerely try, then Krishna will make it possible. And Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the world in every town and village. Today it may appear to be difficult or impossible, We may think, how is it going to happen in a country like Switzerland? How is it going to happen in France or United States? But it will happen, just a matter of time. Prabhupada has planted his explosives in the form of his books in every corner of this world, and it's just a matter of pressing the button and there will be an explosion, and the whole world is going to be ecstatic through that explosion. Maya will be finished and Krishna consciousness will prevail. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes,
Bhagavatam mentioned that Jada and Mada had three births, as you mentioned. But then they took birth again in Chaitanya.
Yeah. Just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime is covered, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates' appearance also have been covered. Like if Jagai and Madhai, their fourth appearance was announced, then everybody would have recognized that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Right? Therefore, their identity has not been disclosed.